From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Upon some points a believer is absolutely sure. He knows, for instance, that God sits in the stern sheets of the vessel when it rocks most. He believes that an invisible hand is always on the world's tiller, and wherever providence may drift, Jehovah steers it. That reassuring knowledge prepares him for everything. He looks over the raging waters and sees the Spirit of Jesus treading the billows, and he hears a voice saying, "It is I, be not afraid." He knows, too, that God is always wise, and knowing this, he is confident that there can be no accidents, no mistakes, that nothing can occur which ought not to arise. He can say, "If I should lose all I have, it is better that I should lose than have, if God so wills. The worst calamity is the wisest and the kindest thing that could befall me if God ordains it." We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The Christian does not merely hold this as a theory, but he knows it as a matter of fact. Everything has worked together for good as yet. The poisonous drugs mixed in fit proportions have worked the cure. The sharp cuts of the lancet have cleansed out the proud flesh and facilitated the healing. Every event as yet has worked out the most divinely blessed results. And so, believing that God rules all, that He governs wisely, that He brings good out of evil, the believer's heart is assured, and he is enabled calmly to meet each trial as it comes. The believer can, in the spirit of true resignation, pray, "Send me what Thou wilt, my God, so long as it comes from Thee. Never came there an ill portion from Thy table to any of Thy children. Say not, my soul, from whence can God relieve my care? Remember that omnipotence has servants everywhere. His method is sublime, His heart profoundly kind. God never is before His time, and never is behind."
Oh.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubts, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Believer's Response to the Gospel, an exposition of chapter 12. As he's emphasizing strongly, the Christian's belief about the gospel must dictate how he lives. The opening verses of chapter 12 exhort the believer to offer themselves as living sacrifices to God. As Dr. Cairns explains, This is not talking about somehow making atonement for sins or failures in the Christian life. Rather, the believer is to act as a priest unto God, giving himself unreservedly for service to the Lord. In fact, as we'll see, the Christian's zeal for Christ is in direct proportion to his understanding of the gospel. Now, Dr. Cairns continues this message. The believer's response to the gospel, a life of self-sacrifice and service.
It is never the call of God for you to work off your guilt by doing anything. Christ has made the one sacrifice to deal with the guilt of your sins forever. And if you feel that you have failed the Lord, and which of us hasn't, we know what to do with sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful, He is just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He has dealt with the guilt. Now, consecration, living as a priest to God, we're not working off our guilt. We are offering sacrifices of thanksgiving, of praise, of worship, the outpouring of a heart of love. Hebrews 13:15 says that by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Our sacrifice, therefore, is one not to remove guilt, but it's one of thanksgiving that He has removed our guilt. We are justified, we are accepted. And let me repeat something I've said so many times, and I understand that it's open to misunderstanding and misconception and misquotation. I understand that. But let me enter this plea that you listen carefully. Because from Romans chapter 6, I understand this also, that anybody who ever preaches the true doctrine of biblical justification will always be open to misunderstanding. Paul was misunderstood on this very score. But I want you to understand carefully what I'm saying. If you're in Christ, God loves you, God accepts you, God sees you as perfectly righteous. Just as much when you're praying as, let me turn that around, just as much as you're not when you're not praying as when you are praying. Just as much when you feel as when you think you succeed. Just as much when you feel your heart like a stone within you as when you feel your heart warm with the flames of devotion. Now, that is not an excuse for being cold of heart. It is to say that our righteousness is not in ourselves, it is in Christ. Our acceptance is not in ourselves, it is in Christ. This is the most liberating truth of the New Testament. And I use the word liberating advisedly. When Paul spoke of being justified, our authorized version translators in one place translated being freed. And I think they did it with justification. Pardon the pun. But they did it with justification because there is a liberation of soul here. I don't have to do anything to impress God. Christ has done it all. I don't have to do anything to make God love me. Christ has done it all. I don't have to do anything to make God accept me. Christ has done it all. We are accepted in the Beloved. Now, therefore, our offering is one of gratitude, one of thanksgiving. We are free to pour out our souls and present our bodies to Him. And the sacrifices that we offer are righteously acceptable to God. I want you to understand that. You see, Romans 12 makes it clear that if we're offering our bodies, they must be righteously acceptable. But they are. Now you look at that body of yours. I'm not talking about its physique now. You look at that flesh of yours. The Bible calls it the body of sin. The Bible calls it the body of death. That body of yours is the vehicle for everything corrupt that you have ever done. That body of yours has been defiled. And I don't care who you are or what you are or how upright you think you have been. If you have ever stood in the shadow of Mount Sinai, if you've ever understood anything of the spirituality of the law of God, you will stand before God as a vile and guilty and naked sinner, and you will cry, this body is a body of utter and absolute and vile corruption. And yet, here's the wonder of grace. You offer it to God, and it is righteously acceptable to Him. How can that be? How can that be? Here's the beauty of the gospel. It is solely on the merits of Christ. Even in the Old Testament, the sacrifices of thanksgiving were always offered on the ground of a sacrifice of atonement. And thus Peter says to us, in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You see that? Here's your body. You come as a priest to God. Lord, I cannot offer anything to put away the guilt of my sin, but I need not, for Christ has borne my sin in His own body on the tree. He has made that sacrifice once and for all and perfectly. He has left nothing undone that needed to be done. It would be blasphemy for me to offer anything for the atonement of my sin or the removal of my guilt. Jesus paid it all. But Lord, here is this body. You've redeemed it with precious blood. It has been a vehicle of sin. I mourn its fleshly corruption, but I come as a priest in thanksgiving and adoration to yield it up to Thee. And God says, I cover it with the merit of Christ. I clothe it in the righteousness of Christ. I give it the savor of the perfection of Christ. You offer that body. Dare I say it, Christian? Dare you think it? But when that is offered in the merit of Christ, God receives it as He receives the very body of His Son. And if that's not amazing grace, I do not know the meaning of words. There is great theology here. We live as priests unto God. We are both priest and sacrifice of thanksgiving. But obviously, there is also simple practicality here. I beseech you to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Again, I'm going to try and cut through all the mystical language that preachers so often enshroud this verse with. And I want to ask you, what does Paul really mean? What does this appeal mean in plain, simple, down-to-earth English that you and I can understand? Surely when he says, I beseech you to yield or present or offer your body a living sacrifice, what he's saying surely is that if we believe the gospel, we should live sacrificially toward God. We take our bodies. We place our bodies. That is our very selves, our life in this world, our being, our existence. We place all that we are and all that we are doing in every part of this life, in every relationship. We take it all and we lay it on the altar of consecration to be consumed in the service of God. Do you get the force of that? To be consumed. That's what I love when I read the New Testament. I see these early Christians. Some of them were learned like Paul. Some of them could not read or write. Some of them were aristocrats, rich men. Others were slaves. But one thing they had in common, they believed the gospel, and the zeal of the service of their Savior ate them up, just as it did the Lord Jesus Himself. I said earlier, Christianity is not a mind game. Neither, as I've said many a time, is it a spectator sport. So many people, and they say, I'm saved. They come to church. They sit in the sidelines. They're spectators to what is going on. Oh, they have their devotions. And by the way, I'm not minimizing the value of that. Nor am I in any way trying to be sarcastic about that. But they have their devotions. They live like a little island. And they're cut off from everything that's going on around about them. But I look and wonder, where is the picture of a man consumed with a driving passion to serve Christ, to glorify God, to magnify Him who died and rose again? Listen, if I believe this, Paul says you must live sacrificially. You must be on the altar. You must be consumed in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all for His glory. What do we know of that? What do we know of that? Can I say that the simplest way I can put it is that the level of our burning zeal for Christ is in direct proportion to the clarity with which we have grasped the gospel. By faith. A faith in Christ that really grasps the gospel cannot and will not fail to produce this self-sacrificing life that's consumed. No longer I, but Christ. No longer what I can want, what I can do, what I can obtain, how far I can go. That's why we sang that hymn tonight. Rather it is, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Every time I think of that, my mind goes back to a young man who had gone to university, the medical school in Queen's University in Belfast. He'd been a brilliant student. He had done very well. He had gone on into surgical studies. He had qualified as a very highly qualified surgeon. He had a string of professional degrees behind his name. The world was at his feet. He could go anywhere in this world. He could command the highest paying jobs in his part of the medical profession. But God had called him to be a missionary. A friend of mine took his paperwork over to Liverpool to meet with the Brazilian government authorities there and showed the consul all these things. And that unsaved Roman Catholic man looked at these things and said, this man wants to go to what we call in Brazil the green hell. And he just looked and he shook his head. He said, why would a man with all those qualifications, with the world at his feet, why would he want to bury himself in Brazil's green hell. Didn't make any sense to the ungodly mind, but it made perfect sense to that young man. And why wouldn't it? God had saved him. Christ had died for him. The gospel gripped his heart. And away he went. Because there was something more important than reaching the top of the medical profession in Britain or America. There was something more important than all the money that could be made. What was it? It was to burn out for Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.